Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
We worship you tonight.
My beloved is the most beautiful among thousands and thousands. My beloved is the most beautiful among thousands. And
will you sing it again, my beloved?
My beloved is the most beautiful among thousands, and
my beloved is the most.
My beloved is the most beautiful among thousands.
Yeshua, that is his name, Yeshua.
Yeshua.
Yeshua. Once again, Yeshua.
Yeshua.
My beloved.
My beloved is the most beautiful among thousands
and thousands. Worship you, Lord, tonight. We bless your name. We exalt you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. You are the one whom our soul loves. You are the most beautiful. You are the most glorious. You are the most wonderful. And tonight we bless your name. We thank you for this time in your presence. We love to be in your presence, singing your praises and rejoicing with your people. And tonight as we go into your word, we pray for more understanding, more knowledge, more insight, and more revelation. In Jesus' mighty name, and let the people of God say amen. Say a louder amen. Can you clap your hands and bless the name of the Lord, everyone? God bless you, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sure you are aware that this month, February is commonly referred to as the month of love because Valentine's Day falls in this month. But for us, we set this month aside as our month of marriage, family, and relationship enrichment. So for the most part of this month, we have been talking about things related to marriage, to family, and to relationships. 2 Wednesdays ago, I started us off by sharing with you why love is the greatest. And last week, I believe Pastor James shared powerfully with us about how love is not a feeling, but is a responsibility. And we were blessed last Sunday to have my friend and my brother, Reverend Chris Wilson Ando, sharing with us on this topic, Before You Jump, which has to do with relationships before you enter into one. And so we are pressing on, and we had a couple's Valentine's Day dinner last Saturday. I was supposed to have shared something at the dinner, but we were hard pressed for time, so I couldn't get into it. And I felt it impressed on my heart to share this with you this evening. You know, there are 3 categories of people here today. I mean, 3 major categories of adults here, apart from the children. We have those who are married. We have those who are in relationships, or they have an intended. And then we also have those who are single. They are not committed to anybody. I believe firmly that what I'll be sharing with you this evening will be of great benefit to everybody, irrespective of which category that you fall into. And so don't tune off and say that because I'm not married, what they are saying does not relate to me. Hallelujah. If you are yet to get married, maybe you are in a relationship, what you're hearing will guide you in the relationship. If you are single and you are yet to enter into a relationship, again, what you will hear this evening will give you wisdom and direction, so that before you accept anybody, you would have factored in all these things. Can I have an amen from somebody? All right. So for this evening, I want to share with you a sermon with the title, The 4 F's of Sustaining Your Marriage. The 4 F's. F as in the letter F. Plural F's. So the 4 F's of sustaining your marriage. Hallelujah. Can you say it with me? The 4 F's of sustaining your marriage. All right. Now, the first F is fight. Everybody say fight. The second F is forgive. Everybody say forgive. The third F is focus. Everybody say focus. And the fourth F is feed. Everybody say feed. All right. So with this, you have a summary of what I'm sharing with you today. I'm sharing on fighting, on forgiving, on focusing, and on feeding. Hallelujah. Now, the first F of sustaining a marriage is you must fight to preserve the marriage. Hallelujah. You must fight to preserve the marriage. If you want your marriage to be sustained, you must fight to preserve it. Now let's read a couple of scriptures. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we're reading from verse number 9. And I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. It says, 2 are better than 1, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Next verse. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hallelujah. Let's look at a second scripture, Matthew chapter 19, reading from verse 3. Matthew 19, verse 3. The Pharisees also came to him, this is Jesus, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? All right, because there was a certain provision in the law that allowed for divorce. And they were trying to put Jesus on a spot, or in a spot. The Bible says, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? Verse 5. And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Verse 6. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate, or let not man separate. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to just stay here. Amen. Now, these two scriptures that I read bring out two very important truths. The first one, and we can glean this from the Ecclesiastes chapter 4 scripture that I read. The first truth that we can grasp from this scripture is that marriage is a good thing. Amen. Marriage is a good thing. Because you see that he's talking about how two are better than one. Now, there's something called the power of two, and it relates to marriage as well. And it's explaining that when you have two people coming together or working together, they tend to have a good reward for their labor. That's the power of two. He said, if they fall, if any one of them falls, the other is there to lift him or her up. So he explains that woe is the one who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. So that's the power of two. If you're going somewhere with a friend and you stumble, there'll be somebody to hold you up. I saw a little video where they were hailing our president, President Mahama. He was in Zambia recently, and there was a lady who was climbing up the stage to do something, and she tripped. But our president held her and prevented her from falling, he and somebody else. And they made a lot of noise about it. Okay? But the thing there is that when you have somebody with you, if you are about to trip and the person can see it, he may be able to hold you and prevent you from tripping. So that's the power of two. Everybody say the power of two. Then he says, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How many of you have been cold before? You've been cold, like maybe during the rainy season, and it's rained a lot and you're feeling very, very cold. Of course, you have an option to cover yourself with a blanket. But there's also another means of keeping warm that does not involve a blanket. It involves your partner. And please, I'm talking about your married partner and nobody else. So your wife can keep you warm. Your husband can keep you warm. It makes it a good thing, does it not? Then it says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. So if somebody is fighting against you and there are two of you, you stand a greater chance to overpower the person, unless the person is Batman or Spider-Man, you know, or one of these superheroes. But if it's an ordinary person and there are two of you who are also ordinary, two ordinary people can overpower one ordinary person. Amen. So that's a good thing. And then it goes on and says that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, this scripture is a scripture that sometimes we read during marriage ceremonies. And we explain to the audience that threefold cord, we can relate it to God as the main cord, and then the husband and the wife as the other strands of the threefold cord. And we explain that in any marriage situation, if the husband and the wife give God his place in their marriage, it is very likely that the marriage will not be broken and that their peace will be preserved. Hallelujah. So based on this, you can say that marriage is a good thing. Another thing that I can say to support this statement is that marriage was instituted by God. And everything that God set up, he said it was good. As a matter of fact, the only thing that God commented on and said was not good was when he looked at the single state of Adam. Because God created the living creatures in pairs. Male and female made he them. But initially, Adam was alone. And God looked at it, and for the first time, he said about his creation that it is not good that the man be alone. I will therefore make him a helpmate suitable for him. And that's how come Eve came into the picture. And the very first marriage ceremony was organized in the Garden of Eden. Everything that God made is good. And so I need you to have that firm belief that marriage is a good thing. Everybody say with me, marriage is a good thing. The fact that it has been corrupted by the devil does not make it a bad thing. Amen. I mean, if you've had a bad experience in a hospital, you cannot say that going to the hospital is a bad thing. You can't say that. It is a fallacy of hasty generalization. You can't do that. So the truth is that many of the things that God instituted, many of the relationships that he set up, have been corrupted and have been contaminated by the devil and by sin. But that by no means translates into a statement that something like marriage is not a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. Hallelujah. Then the second thing I want you to understand. So the first thing I wanted you to grasp is that marriage is a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. And then the second thing that I want you to understand is that it is God who joins people together in marriage. Particularly if you come before him to be married, you must understand that it is God who joined you together. A minister of the gospel may have stood there to take you through the vows. But you must understand that he is a representative of God. And when he pronounced you husband and wife, because it was done before God, what you must understand is that it is actually God who joined you together. And this is the point that Jesus made in the second scripture that we read. The last thing he said in verse 6 of Matthew 19 is that therefore what God has joined together, let no man separate. So Jesus was making an emphatic statement that when a man and a woman are joined together in marriage, it is God who joins them. The Bible actually says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing, not a bad thing. If you find a wife, you have found a good thing and you have obtained favor from the Lord. So this is the second important thing that I want you to understand, that it is actually God who joined you together. Now, marriage, even though it is a good thing, has a lot of challenges. And I am yet to find a perfect marriage. I've been around for some time and I haven't yet seen one. And I doubt if I will ever see one. And I'm convinced that there is nothing like a perfect marriage. A marriage where there are no issues, there are no challenges, they are living in perfect harmony, there is never any disagreement, there is never any difference in opinion, there is never a time where any of the parties is upset with the other. There is nothing like that. There is nothing like a perfect marriage. Because let's face it, it is two imperfect people being put together in the marriage. How then would you expect that out of the imperfect, perfection can come forth? It doesn't make sense, and it's just not possible. But I can tell you this, that even though you cannot have a perfect marriage, you can have a happy marriage. I'll say it again. Even though you cannot have a perfect marriage, you can have a happy marriage. A happy marriage doesn't mean that there are no challenges. A happy marriage doesn't mean that there are no issues. But what it is with a happy marriage is that the two people in that union have decided that we will be happy in spite of the challenges and the issues that persist in the marriage. Hallelujah. Now, if there are challenges in marriage, what it means is that there are definitely going to be times when you may be tempted to have another mind about it. Let me put it in another way. Sometimes, because of the challenges and the difficulties and the issues that pop up in the marriage, you may feel tempted to come out of it. And let me make a disclaimer here, if it is a disclaimer, that I do not judge people who divorce. I don't pass judgment on them. Because that's not my role, that's not my responsibility. And I'll admit that sometimes when you hear about certain situations, you can understand why somebody will want to walk out of the marriage. Now, even though divorce is not something that I personally subscribe to, I will also not stand in judgment of anybody who walks out of a certain kind of marriage. But I am still insisting that it is God who joined you together. And that marriage is God's idea. And one of the things, if you are married, that you must do very strongly is to fight to preserve that marriage. Hallelujah. Fight to preserve that marriage. Do not fight to separate. Fight to stay in the marriage. Because it is God who joined you together. Can I have an amen? Can I have a louder amen? Look, every marriage will have its fair share of misunderstandings. Will have its fair share of fights. So never ever think when there is a challenge in your marriage that it is unique to you. I mean, if every couple will open up and talk about their challenges, you may actually realize and discover to your shock that your situation is far better than somebody else's. But because you don't know what is going on in another person's chamber, you have concluded that this marriage is the most evil thing that ever happened to me. And I want to say to you that whatever the issues and the challenges and the misunderstandings are, fight to stay instead of fighting to leave. Now, if for any reason the marriage will not work, it should not be from want of trying. It should not be because you didn't fight hard enough. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Yes. And I also want to say to you that never enter into a marriage or never be in a marriage and have a mind of, if things don't work out in a certain way, I am off. I am out. And I think that today's generation enter into marriage with that mindset, which probably explains why the divorce rate is higher than it has ever been before. Never enter into it with that mindset. Rather, your mind must be that I am in this thing for the rest of my life. Again, I want to say to you that I understand that sometimes you meet issues and challenges that are very overwhelming. I understand all of that. But the fact that such a situation exists does not nullify the point that I am making, that it is worth fighting to preserve your marriage. And so if you want to sustain your marriage, the first F that I'm sharing with you is that you must fight to preserve the marriage. Can I have an amen? Amen. All right. The second F that I want to share with you is that you must forgive quickly and drop issues. So that's the second F. Forgive. Forgive quickly and drop issues. Amen. Forgive quickly and drop issues. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32. Forgive quickly and drop issues. That is the second of the four F's of sustaining your marriage. Forgive quickly and drop issues. And so the Bible says in Ephesians 4, 31 to 32, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. 32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4 to 5 from the New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 5. So in the Ephesians scripture we read, we are being asked to forgive one another even as God in Christ forgave you. How many know that God has forgiven you your sins and trespasses? So now a charge has been given to us that we also must forgive one another. How? Just as God in Christ has forgiven us. And that applies to your spouse. It applies to forgiving your husband. It applies to forgiving your wife. And in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 to 5, New Living Translation, I said, the Bible says that love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Verse 5. Or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And then look at the next thing it says. And it keeps no record of being wronged. And it keeps no record of being wronged. Did you see that? And it keeps no record of being wronged. Ladies and gentlemen, if we want to sustain our marriages, we must learn to forgive and to do that quickly. And actually, the Bible says that we should not let the sun go down on our anger. So what it means is that if you're angry with your spouse, today is the 18th. Is today the 18th? Yeah, 18th of February. Your husband did something, your wife did something against you. What the Bible means by do not let the sun go down on your anger is that by 5:45, 5:50 p.m., you must hold your guns and let whatever issue there is, just let it end. That's what it means. So what that translates into is that you must forgive quickly. Now, this sometimes is the challenge you have in marriages. People are hurt. People are offended, are betrayed, are ill-treated. And what they do is that they keep files and folders of the offenses that their spouses have committed against them. So they have files. They have folders. And they have become accountants of offenses. An accountant of offenses. So he can tell you that on the 18th of March 2009, you told me that I am a foolish man. On the 7th of July 2014, you called me swine. They can tell you that in 2015, you forgot my birthday and you forgot our marriage anniversary. 2015, that's 11 years ago. The person can remember that you did something like that and refer you to it. Or they'll tell you that last year, Valentine's Day, you did not buy any chocolate for me. And this year too, you haven't bought any. So you see, you can get to a place where you become an accountant, a record keeper of offenses and of hurts. If you go on that route, your marriage will not work. And marriage is such that there is a need to be quick to forgive and be quick to drop issues. Because if you prosecute every single issue, don't be surprised if the marriage ends one day. On Sunday during, I beg your pardon, on Saturday when we had the dinner for the couples in church on Valentine's Day, we had different couples speak to us. One of the couples who spoke to us informed us that they have been married for 47 years. That's a very long time. 47 years. There are others who've been married for 40 years. You know, Pastor Joe Kumi will be 31 years in marriage this year. And my wife and I are following closely. Is today your marriage anniversary? Hey, these women. My wife is saying something from the back. She's trying to say that 30 years ago, I engaged her. 18th of February. Yeah. So she keeps doing this, doing this. I said, what is she doing? Yeah, engagement, they can remember. My dear, I remember. Because we spoke about it today. So I'm being reminded. And on the 2nd of March, we'll be 30 years in marriage. Now, all these examples of marriages that I've given you, I can bet with you $1,000, that all of them have had issues, have had misunderstandings, have had quarrels and differences. And some of them were very serious issues that if they hadn't fought to preserve the marriage, it could have ended. But one of the things that they will tell you when you get close to them is that we've learned to forgive one another and to drop issues and not to keep a record of hurts and offenses. And that is why I'm saying to you today that if you want to sustain your marriage, develop a mindset and an attitude of I'm going to forgive quickly and I'm also going to drop issues very quickly. Because there's no marriage that can survive without forgiveness. And by the way, may I remind you also that do you know that if God were to keep a record of all our sins, all our mistakes and everything, none of us would make it to heaven? Are you aware? Yeah. None of us will make it to heaven. None of us. So when the Bible says, for there is none righteous, no, not one, it is very real. And the reason why we are going to be allowed into heaven is because God has forgiven us. And that's why the Bible says that just as he has forgiven us, and look at the extent to which God has forgiven us, God is saying that to that same extent, you must forgive your spouse. You must forgive your partner. You must let it go. Drop the issues. Don't continue to make reference to things that have happened in the past. Let it go. Drop the issue and move on. And I know that when people hear us talk like that, they say, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what he has done to me. You don't know how she betrayed me, and so on and so forth and everything. I understand your pain. I understand your hurt. But if you remind yourself that it is God who joined you together, and the Bible says, whom God has joined together, let not man separate, then you must fight hard to preserve that marriage. Hallelujah. Last Sunday, I was speaking to a couple in my office. They are having some challenges. And the husband was not happy with the wife. And the issue of divorce had popped up on a few occasions. But among many things that I said to them, one of the things I said to them is that never ever go through life telling yourself that I made a mistake in marrying this person. Never say that. Or never think so. And I explained to them why I said that. Now, if the marriage was a mistake, then what it means is that everything that came out of the marriage was a mistake. Does that make sense? Yeah. If the marriage was a mistake, then everything that has come out or resulted out of that marriage is a mistake. It means that your children are mistakes. But when you talk about your children, do you know that out of the 8 billion people on the face of the earth, only you and your husband could have given birth to them? Out of the 8 billion people, there's no other couple who could have had the children that you have. That's how unique they are. And then I went on to explain to them that for your children to have been born, it means that God has a plan and a purpose for them. And if God had a plan and a purpose for them to be born, then it means that included in that plan and the purpose was that you, the man, and you, the woman, should come together in marriage. Because remember that God's perfect will is that children should be born within the context of marriage, not outside marriage. So you see, when you look at it from any angle, and you are honest, the one conclusion that you can arrive at is that even though we are having issues and there are very beastly situations we are contending with in this marriage, we can also not say that it is a mistake. You know, sometimes the bad marriage may actually be what teaches you humility, and may actually be what teaches you to trust God and to lean on Him. Perhaps all your spirituality is because of how they are preparing you in the marriage. That is the only thing that could make you humble. I know that these things are hard sayings, but they must be said. So I have said all this to bring us to this point, that we must fight to preserve the marriage. And one of the things we must do is to forgive quickly and to drop issues quickly, so that the marriage can be sustained. Did I hear somebody say amen? The third F, which is the third principle of sustaining your marriage, is focus. Focus on making yourself better. Amen. Focus on making yourself better. And do not be obsessed with changing your spouse. Focus on making yourself better and do not be obsessed with changing your spouse. Focus. Somebody say focus. I didn't hear you. Focus on making yourself better and do not be obsessed. Don't spend all your time and your energy trying to change your spouse. Matthew 7, verse 1 to 5. Matthew 7, verse 1 to 5, from the New Living Translation. It says, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged." Now, verse 3. "And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own?" So, who has the speck? Who has the speck according to this scripture? Your friend. The other party is the one who has the speck. And who has the log? Not me, me. You. Yeah. How can you think of saying to your friend, "Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye," when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Verse 5. Hypocrites. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. You know, all that Jesus is saying to us is this: always come from the place and the position that I'm the one who has the bigger problem, that I am the one who has the bigger problem. In fact, this is one of the ways by which a lot of issues can be resolved. When you start off from the perspective that I had the bigger problem. Or another way of putting it is that I have a lot of work to do on myself. And that is why I'm saying to you that let's learn to focus on ourselves and not become obsessed with trying to change your spouse. Because a lot of the frustrations that we encounter in marriages come about because we are trying desperately to change our partners and it's not working. Have you been able to change your spouse? Really, have you? Have you really been able to? Now, there are some things that may have changed and may have become better. But I can tell you that there are many things that have not changed and will not change. But here is the wisdom. The wisdom is that for things to get better and for you to be able to stay in the marriage and be sustained in the marriage, work on yourself. Try and change yourself. Try and find the best version of yourself. Because when you do that, what you're going to do is that you will end up inspiring your spouse to also do better because you are changing yourself. And this is one of the powerful keys to sustaining marriages, where each person in the marriage, instead of zeroing in and zooming in on your partner and always talking about you did this, you did that, you said this, you said that, why do you always this, why do you always that, why do you never this, instead of doing that, you decide that I am going to work on myself. So perhaps you may find out that the reason why you are always pointing out your spouse's fault is because you are very intolerant. So now you have to now start working on yourself to become more tolerant. And to get to the place that you can see certain things and you don't make any comment about it. Your usual self, any small thing that you see, you want to talk about it. You want to comment about it. You want to address it. You want to correct it. And it is not correcting too. It is not correcting. It is not getting better. So now comes a superior wisdom, where you get to a place where you tell yourself that perhaps this situation that I'm dealing with, this situation that I'm confronted with in the marriage, God is trying to use it to make me more tolerant. And God is trying to use it to make me temperate in all things. Or God is using this to help me to be more self-controlled, instead of prosecuting every single issue that comes up in the marriage. And if you want to sustain the marriage, I can tell you this, that learn to focus on yourself, instead of being obsessed with your partner, trying to fix him or fix her. Are you a fitter? Are you a fitter? You can't. You can't. The only person that you can fix is yourself. And that's why we have to try. And the beautiful thing about it is, if each one of us in the marriage, instead of focusing on the other person, we focus on ourselves to try and find the best versions of ourselves, what is going to happen invariably is that you will converge at the point and realize that things are working much better. And things are working much better not because you were successful in changing him or that you were successful in changing her, but you were successful in changing yourself. She changed herself, you change yourself, and now things are working much better for you in the marriage and in the union. Can I have an amen from somebody? Yeah. And that brings us to the last F, which is feed the friendship. Feed the friendship. If you want to sustain the marriage, feed the friendship that is supposed to exist between you and your spouse. Song of Songs, chapter 5, verse 15 to 16. Song of Songs, chapter 5, or Song of Solomon. It says, his legs, so this is the Shulamite, And I touched briefly on this on Sunday during the singles session. Song of Solomon is a book that was written by King Solomon. And most of what you find in there was a certain dialogue that took place between a Shulamite. Now, this was a woman that King Solomon was interested in and wanted to add to his array of wives and concubines. But the thing was that this woman was very much in love with another guy who was an ordinary shepherd. So he was a king, and her beloved was an ordinary shepherd. But she was so much in love with this beloved that even though Solomon did everything that he could to win her love, he couldn't. So it was out of that whole episode that Solomon wrote the Song of Songs. So here, the Shulamite, the woman, is saying something about her beloved shepherd. She said, "His legs are like marble pillars set in sockets of finest gold." Yes, in fancy, that's what it means. "His posture is stately, like the noble cedars of Lebanon." Poetic language. "His mouth is sweetness itself." "He is desirable in every way." Then look at the next thing she says. "Such, O women of Jerusalem, is my lover." And then look at the next thing that she says. "My friend." "My lover. My friend." "My lover. My friend." Look at Proverbs 17 verse 17. "A friend loves." Give me the New King James Version, please. "A friend laughs at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." When does a friend laugh? At all times. A friend laughs at all times. And in the first scripture, she described her lover and said, "He's my lover, but he's also my friend." And the second scripture is saying that a friend laughs at all times. So now here is the thing. It is difficult to sustain a marriage when you do not develop the friendship with the person you are married to. And that is why I will always advise you that marry somebody who is your friend. And never let me hear you ever say again that I can't marry him, I can't marry her because he is too much of my friend. Because it's a mistake to think that way. You see, the thing is that sometimes we place too much premium on that thing called romance and the sexual attraction. It is important. It is needed. But sometimes we place too much premium on that, and it becomes the major thing that we are looking for. And what we don't realize is that at the end of the day, what sustains the marriage is the friendship. And the friendship is like the bridge between the romance and the commitment to the marriage. If you see any couple who have been married for a very long time, usually one of the reasons is that they've developed the friendship. So if you want to sustain the marriage, you must feed the friendship. Anything that you can do to make the friendship stronger, do it. You talk to your friend. You play with your friend. You joke with your friend. You do what? You're talking to your son. Yeah. There are things you do with your friend. And have you realized that when somebody is really your friend, even when you are angry with the person, you don't end the friendship. Somewhere, somehow, you find a way to resolve the issues and then you press on. That's why the Bible says a friend laughs at all times. And sometimes it is the absence of this friendship, or it is not absent, but it has not been fed. And so you end up with the feeling and the impression that the marriage is not working, or it cannot work, or things are not going to go well. And for those of you who are in a relationship before you're getting married, or those of you who are yet to enter into one, never downplay on the importance of the friendship element, because that's what is going to keep you. That's what's going to keep you. As for the romance and the sexual attraction and all of those things, there is a point when it simmers down and it's not as fiery as it was in the very beginning. In the very beginning, when you see small exposure of flesh, then things are happening to you. When you get to another place, you can even become irritated. You can even become irritated. Say, hey, go and wear a dress. Stop this. What are you walking around there? You can even become irritated. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So the friendship is a very important thing. And sometimes that is what is missing. The only thing that, you know, at a point you find that husband and wife talk about, they talk about the bills, they talk about the school fees, you know, they talk about the children, but there's no talk about each other, how you're feeling, what is going on with you, and all of that. They don't check on each other, they don't find out how things are going. There's nothing like that. So the friendship is almost zero. But if you want to sustain the marriage, the friendship must be fed. So, ladies and gentlemen, these are the four F's of sustaining the marriage that I wanted to share with you today. The first one is fight to preserve the marriage. The second F is forgive quickly and drop issues. The third F is focus on yourself and do not be obsessed with changing your spouse. And the final F is that you must feed the friendship. And I believe that if we can do this by the grace of God, our marriages will stand a better chance of doing well and being sustained. Whatever storms may come, whatever challenges may come, the marriage may work better. May the Lord give us a deeper understanding as we move on from here. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for tonight, and thank you for what we have heard and what we've received. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will help us in our marriages and our relationships. For those of us who are married, give us the grace to do better in our marriages and to move from where we are to a higher level of love, of togetherness, of friendship. I pray for those who are in a relationship. I pray that you will help them to strengthen the relationship and to do whatever must be done so that when they step into the marriage, things will work better for them. For anybody who is single and is yet to enter into any relationship, I pray that they will be guided by the things that they've heard today. We thank you, Father, for tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, amen. Give Jesus a...
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886-622. God bless you.